If that mum is not happy with that decision and mm-hmm. they are worried about that, they are completely, that their view is entirely valid, and we are just here to support that and make sure they have enough information that they can make an informed decision on.
Thank you. And we just got a few seconds left, so if there's one thing that you want everyone listening to this show to take away, what would that be?
Ooh, tough one. I would probably say, it's actually, I'm going to take this from a colleague, a wonderful colleague that I work with back in London, who always said, so why vaccinate? And I'm going to compare it to why, when we get in a car, do we put our seatbelt on? It's not because we think we're going to crash. It's not because we know we're going to crash. But we do it anyway to protect ourselves. And that one time that you have to stop suddenly or get in an accident, that seatbelt can save your life. So that's the way I kind of view vaccinations, is you might not think you need it at the time, but in that moment when you do need it, that's what it's there to do, to protect your child. And please, 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 to all parents out there, never feel worried or ashamed about any decision you're making. You know what is best for your child, but just come and talk to us. Just read the information out there, trusted resources, and I hope that you feel that as doctors and health professionals, we are here to help you.
Dr. Joanna Betterton, thank you so much for coming in and sharing and
thank you.
Speaking of your experience, and you spoke with great empathy. Thank you for being here. You've been tuned into the NHS Takeover program with me, your host, Court the Seeker, and our special guest, Dr. Joanna Betterton, and hopefully we'll bring her back in at some point and we can talk some more. If you've missed any of the show, then just go to www.ujimaradio.com and you can hit listen again. We're out of here. Stay locked and keep listening for the rest of the day. Enjoy.
The ingredients a little new school. Some soul. A little R&B. Taste of old school. The heart of Bristol. Keep on moving. You're listening to Ujima 98 FM.
Hi, I'm Meg Cox and I'm a sustainable fashion stylist and runway event organiser.
And I'm Mary Minor, a singer, songwriter and performer, and you're listening to the Persona Power podcast.
The Persona Power podcast is about using sustainable fashion and self-care as tools to step into your confidence, protect your mental health and strengthen your identity.
Because when you know who you are, you can thrive anywhere, on stage, online and in everyday life.
Hello, welcome to the Persona Power podcast. We are back. And I'm really happy to be here. It's a sunny morning and I'm enjoying that.
Oh, wonderful. It's wonderful to see you. I'm Mary Minor.
Hi.
I'm a singer, songwriter, performer.
And I'm Meg Cox. I am a fashion stylist.
And a very good one at that, I must say. I just wanted to mention, actually, because it's been on my mind, that I did a styling session with Meg last year at some point, and I ended up wearing the dress, one of the dresses that I bought from you in my video.
Yes, you did.
And I need to do a little feature about that. I need
yes,
to do
please.
A little reel, because so far I haven't actually mentioned it, and I'm actually like, no, I should mention this,
yeah.
You know? So I'm going to do a little reel about that, about how I put my outfit together. I think that'd be fun.
Yes, I like that. Yeah, you look fantastic in that dress.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I love the dress. It's great. And now it's immortalised on film.
It was one to keep in your wardrobe forever now.
Yeah, this indeed.
That's it.
So gosh, how have you been this last week?
All right. So the past 2 days, I have made an effort not to be on social media, not to basically speak to anybody, and just like complete solitude. This is the first time I've left the house in 2 days, and I think I'm feeling good for it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I need to do that, you know. Mm. I really need to do that. Like, I've been really good at being consistent on my social media. And it's not actually doing me any favours at the moment. Like, it's not actually getting me anywhere. If anything, my social media has dropped off massively. Like, I've just sort of, like, fallen off a cliff or something, you know.
What, in terms of, like...
Views
and stuff.
Engagement.
That just happens before you get a boost anyway. It's like the algorithm is checking to see, I don't know, whatever it checks. But I think it happens from time to time. And I think it's a sign for you to continue with that consistency. Mm-hmm. Because I think once you drop off and you stop doing it, it's hard to pick it back up again. I always find that. I find it hard to be consistent and I find it hard to pick it back up again. But what I'm trying to say is don't feel too diminished by it.
Well, I'm not, because what I'm doing now is I'm posting on multiple platforms. So like one video that only got about 150 views on Instagram got 2,000 views on YouTube. So it sort of tells me that it's not me, it's the algorithm.
Absolutely, you know? That's it.
Yeah. But you know, I'm still trying to go for the 20,000 views.
Yeah.
If algorithms, if you're listening. It's been, for me, an interesting week, because I went to an amazing event in London last week.
Uh-huh.
I went to this thing called 58th Street. It's an immersive recreation of a New York jazz club in the 1930s.
Amazing.
And it is amazing.
Where is it?
It's in Peckham in London. Yeah. But it's like, you get the full-on dining experience, so it's like a 6-course dining experience. And the band comes out. Well, it starts off with a pianist coming and playing those beautiful jazz as you're having your starters and your champagne cocktails. and then you get the host come out, so she's amazing. She sings and she hosts, and then she introduces all the band, and then the band play this like amazing set, and then you get the star of the show come out, and she's just absolutely incredible. Like, it's all very flamboyant, and there's loads of feathers, there's loads of sequins. It's just gorgeous, and it really is quite immersive, because you're not supposed to have your phones there, you know. They ask you not to take any photos or videos, and so, you know, it really does conjure up the spirit of the era. And then they do this wonderful thing when they bring the main course, and they basically do a song about, we're going to feed you. And it's so nice. And then all the waiters come out, and they come out with these big platters in this massive procession, and they kind of walk around the whole thing. And it doesn't matter where you're sat, you get a perfect view wherever you are, because the stage is like right in the middle of the club. So, and then the performers kind of move around so that you can see them whichever way you're sitting. It's really awesome.
That sounds amazing.
So yeah, busy week. I had fun putting my outfit together.
Yeah, you looked great. I'm happy that you wore those heels as well.
Yeah, oh, I loved, yeah, definitely. Those little T-bar silver dancing shoes. Mm-hmm. And there was this bit in the, because you're sat down through most of the event, but then they start inviting you to come and dance and encouraging you to come down by the stage and dance. And then they do this massive conga where everybody gets involved and you basically go around the whole club, like, just dancing. It's so fun, honestly. It was really quite pricey, actually, but very worth it. It was one of those unforgettable experiences that, yeah, 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 it's kind of, yeah, it's kind of, there's a bit of theatre involved as well, because they're all playing these roles. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're speaking as if they're in the 1930s as well, you know, and they tell these little anecdotal stories and things. Yeah, it's brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
That's fantastic. That's an experience I'd never really heard of before either.
Yeah.
So it's quite a unique experience.
It is unique, yeah. And they do a few, like it's called The Lost Estate, and they do a few different experiences. So there's a one based on the era, you know, the sort of jazz era in France, I believe. I haven't actually looked into it that deeply, but it's called Le Chat Noir. So, and I would like to go to another one, but it is quite pricey, so I'd probably only be able to do it once a year or something.
Do you think if you could go back and experience an era, do you think it would be the 1930s?
Either maybe the 40s or the 50s, actually. I think maybe the 50s is my era that I'd love to go back to. Like the sort of, yeah, I mean, I like a lot of the old movies of that era. But I don't know, actually. Like, I think there was more inequality then, so I don't know. Like, when I think about it, I think actually it all seems very glamorous and wonderful, but actually I've grown up in an era where things feel a lot better for everybody, you know, although they could always be better, so
yeah, you know. Yeah, I have always wanted to experience like the 20s flapper.
Yeah,
but then so I recently watched the new Agatha Christie's Seven Dials.
Yeah,
and that's like based around that time, and like all of the parties look amazing and lavish, like all of the dresses are super sparkly and fun, but they do touch on issues like that, like women still couldn't vote.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't able to have the house in their name. They weren't able, like, loads of things like that that we take for granted now.
Yeah, and there was a lot more racism then, you know. It was, I mean, I know there's still a lot of racism now, but I think it was much more difficult for black people then. So, yeah, so it's like, you know, in the fantasy world, it's like, oh, yeah, I'd love to revisit that era. But actually, I think we're living in better times now.
Yeah, it's easier to romanticise things like that, isn't it? Like, you always think of the best bits from eras. And I think that's what, like, a lot of the fashion and the aesthetics, that's what's romanticised about it rather than the actual realistic lifestyle.
Yeah. And also, I always think about the 50s being this golden era, but actually, they'd just come out of the war, hadn't they?
Yeah.
So, you know, things were really difficult for people back then. And I can't imagine having to live through, you know, hopefully we won't get to live through another world war, but when I think back, I think, gosh, imagine having to live through the First or the Second World War.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It would have been so hard.
So hard.
Anyway.
So, talking about, kind of touching on the, like, life struggles and things.
Yeah.
I saw a recent fashion show by Prada, and it was their autumn winter 26, so their recent fashion show, and on their clothes they have designed mold and wear onto them. I thought I'd bring that to you today because it's an interesting thing. What do you think? Would you wear some designer stuff that has intentional mold on?
No, I wouldn't. Do you know what? Mold is the bane of my life. I struggle with mold. I live on a ground floor flat, and you know, it's quite where I live, it's quite a swampy, it was originally quite a swampy sort of area, and it gets very damp in my building. It's quite an old building, and you know, as soon as we get to the rainy season, it just gets really, really damp in my flat, and I struggle with having mold growing on my walls and then getting onto my clothes and shoes.
Oh, no.
And it is disgusting. I hate mold.
Yeah.
I hate mold. It's horrible. And quite often, you know, after I've been away for a week or something, I'll get home and then I'll open my drawers and there'll be like this kind of like white film over my clothes. And I'm like, oh, nice.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then I've got to put everything in the wash. And I have to really clear out my drawers about once a month just to make sure that everything's okay. I've got all those like, you know, those sachets that you can put in the drawers, which are supposed to absorb moisture. So I put those in, you know, like I put these little damp traps all around the flat, really, and then I spend a lot of time. If I go away, I always make sure that I leave the bathroom light on with the extractor fan, and I leave the cooker hood switched on as well with the extractor on there. So I can't see why anyone would intentionally want mold. I mean, I get it though. Like, I get why designers want to try these different things out. Mm-hmm. It's creative, isn't it? It's like, what can we try that we haven't done before?
And in a way, it's achieving what's intentional about it, in that we're talking about it. It's a PR stunt,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's to get people talking, and then your name's on their lips, and then they remember you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, like, it's part of why I love fashion shows, mm-hmm. is the theatre of it.
Yeah.
It's the, like, one-upping every time.
Yeah.
There's one fashion show that always sticks in my mind, which is the Alexander McQueen, I think it's 2001 Vax show, and that's where he had all of the models in a one-sided mirror box. So they couldn't see out, but you could see in.
Whoa.
And which is quite invasive anyway. It's quite a nerving situation. And then at the end of the show, the music stopped, and there's like a glass box, a mirrored box in the middle of where all of these models are walking around, and the sides, like, just fall down, and the inside is like a plus size woman, mm-hmm. On, like, almost nude on a chaise longue, and the whole mirrored box was full of live moths, and it was quite a gruesome, and, like, moths are one of it's a enemy of fashion, because obviously they eat clothes.
They do.
Right? So it was almost like a complete, like, anti-fashion movement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because his fashion shows weren't always about fashion. It was about what he was trying. He was basically just trying to move against what fashion was.
Yeah.
And I think that's so important. Fashion up until then, you know, it was almost quite like a precious industry, quite gatekeepery, and he came in and he just kind of stirred everything up. You know, things were gruesome. He really pushed the bar out. Like, he almost got cancelled by quite a few of his shows.
Wow.
But it's all about it being a conversation. Like, fashion should be a conversation.
I agree, because it's an art form, isn't it? Yeah. And art is supposed to be thought-provoking.
Absolutely.
So it may be designed to divide opinion.
Yes.
But the main point about art is that it does get us into a conversation about it, mm-hmm. and that is what it's supposed to do, love it or hate it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it reminded me of the 2000 Dior collection, which was under scrutiny for glamorizing poverty, because he had so John Galliano, I think, who did it, he designed it, he sent models down the runway in, like, torn clothes, layered blankets over them, and it was almost like glamorizing poverty.
Yeah, poverty
porn. So that's what this recent Prada with all of the mold and the wear on, that's what it reminded me of. But then on the other side of my mind, I wondered whether there also could incite a conversation around either looking after your clothes, or even about holding on to pieces even when it's worn.
I like that. That's good. I think that quite often we will be inclined to discard things instead of thinking, well, how can I make that, you know, part of the design? Yeah. Like, you know, if you rip a hole in your tights, it's like, okay, well, why not I rip a few more holes and then I'm punk, you know?
Exactly. And like boots, like leather boots, like Doc Martens, there's a whole thing around you have to, like, wear them in. Mm-hmm. You almost like have to scratch them up a bit. You have to like make them feel worn for you to even like properly wear them, because it's a whole experience. Yeah. It's a whole experience wearing in some Doc Martens. Like when I first got mine, I decided to go on a hike, which was a terrible idea. Terrible. Got PTSD from that and the scars. but it's it. I think like I. I'm looking at this thinking this runway with the mold and the wear is that, yes, it's making a conversation around how we treat our clothes when they are worn, and, you know, how we can still enjoy our wardrobe even with the marks, even with the, you know, the scuffs on your boots, even like it almost is a sign that you have enjoyed that piece.
Yeah, that's a really nice perspective. Yeah, and we shouldn't necessarily feel like we have to. Like, I'm always getting stains on my stuff one way or another. You know, I've made a delicious bolognese, but it's gone all the way down my white blouse and it will never be the same again.
Always wearing white when I've made a tomato dish. I did exactly the same thing yesterday.
Yeah, easy mistake to make. And I love wearing white as well. But yeah, perhaps not with bolognese sauce. But, we haven't actually. Oh gosh, I'm just laughing at myself because I'm so groggy this morning, and I'm thinking, wow, we've been chatting for 17 minutes and we haven't even introduced the topic yet. But
I like it. I think it should be a part of our podcast. It's just bringing information, things that we've seen over the past week, checking in with each other, and then maybe having a chat.
Yeah, no, it is nice. It is nice. I did bring a topic.
Yes,
today.
Go on.
I did. I was thinking about, well, I'm sort of reflecting on what we were talking about last week, where we were. I was kind of reflecting on the last 10 years of my life, and then thinking about like the practices and the habits that have sustained me over that time. And then I was thinking about how difficult it can be at this time of year. I mean, by the time this is broadcast, January is over already. Mm-hmm. Can you believe it? It's flown by. But we're still in winter. We've still got at least another, you know, 4 to 6 weeks to go of winter. And it's actually quite a challenging time of year when we probably feel like, oh, come on, it's coming up to spring. I should be, you know, I should have done my resolutions by now. I should have, you know, I should have started something new. But we're still in that like hibernation mode. Yeah. Everything's moving more slowly. Like even this morning, you know, I got up at my normal time, but it took me longer to get ready because like my whole system was just like fighting against being awake. It was mm-hmm. just like, oh my goodness. And I was thinking, you know, sometimes it's really good just to remember like the little things that can sustain us like over the long term, and how we can just kind of gently return to the practices and the habits and things like that when, you know, sometimes we've been thrown off course, you know, by life, or just not wanting to go anywhere, just not wanting to do anything.
Yeah, I absolutely feel you. I don't really put any pressure on myself until March.
Yeah.
I think that's that. I appreciate that my body is not meant to be doing like crazy stuff right now. Like, I am still envisioning myself as a little fat bear in a cave, you know, just hibernating. I think that's why I allow myself, for example, the past couple of days to literally hibernate.
Yeah.
And it was horrible weather. Like, I'm not going out of store.
It was,
sorry.
Yeah, it was really bad.
and I think it's important to listen to your body, and when you are feeling low energy, just allow yourself to be low energy. I have days that I call slow fast days, and they are days when I've got lots of things to do, but I just take my time with each thing. It may take me longer to do things, but I'll still achieve them.
Uh-huh.
But there are days where I appreciate that I've got lots to do, but I allow myself to be slow within it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Sometimes we just have to move a little more slowly.
Yeah.
But we still get things done. Yeah. But I was just thinking, because yesterday really threw me off because my car wouldn't start.
Oh, no.
So, you know, I couldn't go to the gym. I had to call the, what do you call them? The rescue people mm-hmm. out.
I don't have the AA anymore. I've got a company called Start Rescue, which is recommended as one of the best ones. So anyway, it was the first time I had to call them out. So I was like, oh, are they going to have they going to be good or not? I don't know. So I just had to hang around at home. Luckily, it was a home start. So, you know, I was just at home. And waiting. But, you know, I was just kind of in that limbo of like, oh, when are they going to come? I don't know, but I can't do anything because I've got to look out the window and wait for them to arrive. I was kind of forced out of my normal routine and forced into embracing the day differently. But it was nice because I still managed to, you know, once my car got started and then he said, oh, you know, I had a flat battery. He said, right, you've now got to stay in the car.
Whilst it runs,
Well, you know, and run it for 45 minutes. And I'm like, what? Oh, no. So I ran inside and got my makeup bag and I did my makeup in the car.
Great.
And my smoothie, sat there drinking my smoothie in the car. And then I managed to make it to a meeting that I had. And it was just like, you know, my day was just like completely thrown off what it was supposed to be. And I was kind of almost forced to move slowly, you know. But it still ended up being quite a productive day in the end, you know, without me, you know, having to like put that pressure on myself. It was almost this kind of resignation of like, okay, I can't do the things that I'd planned. So what's most important from this point forwards, you know, I managed to do my music practice in the evening and, you know, I managed to get a couple of hours working and I managed to, oh, guess what?
What?
Going off on another tangent.
Go on.
But I had a successful meeting yesterday with a venue owner.
Cool.
And I've got a date in the diary for a jazz night.
Yay!
Because I've been really looking forward to relaunching my jazz night. So I'm going to have to do this one differently because of the size of the venue. But watch this space.
Can you tell us where it's going to be?
Bar 57.
Cool! Nice! Yeah.
And it's gorgeous in there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Like the owner's half French. Oh. So there's a kind of almost
where
like
is it?
European vibe in there. It's on North Street.
Yes, I know the one.
It's gorgeous. It's a really nice, really atmospheric little place. So, yay! So that's coming up. So, but not for a while. I've booked a date in March. So, got plenty of time to plan.
That's the perfect time to get people out and about, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It is. It was like last night, all I wanted to do is I had quite a stressful day, really. You know, there was some wins, obviously, as well, but there was some challenges as well. And by the end of the day, I was just like, oh, right, I need to do the dishes. So I'm going to just put on, like, an audiobook. And I was just about to do it, and I was like, ah, I haven't done my singing practice. I was like, okay, all right, never mind. I've just put that on instead, and I got it done. And actually, it felt really good to get it done. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, you know. It does. It's nice to have a clean home and tidy home.
Yeah,
I think it helps with the brain.
Well, it does help with the brain because you know, I'm really, really wanting to get back into my creativity because I was creatively blocked all year last year. And so I desperately wanted to get back to creativity and I got all these new ideas. But because I'd been away for a few days and I'd come back, and this is what always happens when I go away, I come back and for a few days I'm living in chaos.
Yeah.
Whilst I get round to unpacking the case and, you know, doing the laundry and, you know, and then everything's kind of going everywhere because there's like already mess. So it kind of, for some reason, when you've already got mess, it can create more mess. And last night I was like, I really just want to get creative, but I can't because as I'm looking around the room, I'm like, I can't create in this space, you know? So I put on, after I did my singing practice, I put on loads of like jazz, scales and things, you know, and just went and practiced all these different jazz techniques. And whilst I tidied up for about an hour and a half, didn't manage to get on top of everything, but
I've made a dent on it.
Mm. Yeah. I actually put my case away and unpacked. Great. So even though I've still got these other bags of things that need unpacking, like the case has been unpacked and it's gone away. And I do have have a couple of piles of stuff to go in the washing machine. So I mean, I've made progress. Yeah. And sometimes it is, you know, just about accepting that we're not going to necessarily be able to do everything, but we can definitely, you know, do something.
Yeah, it's about just starting things, I think.
Yeah.
I think it can be an uphill battle just to start the cleaning, to start doing that, to start doing this. Sometimes the biggest battle is literally starting something.
Yeah.
So as long as you start it, you might be surprised by how much you get done.
Yeah.
When you are finding it hard to just start. I think like I tend to do the cleaning in my house like one at a time.
Yeah.
In that, you know, one day I'll do the living room, one day I'll do the bedroom, one day I'll do the bathroom, one day, one afternoon I'll do that, one afternoon I'll do it. Because, like, it's hard to just do it all at once.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with ADHD, you end up, I find it really difficult to like start a job and then not start other jobs at the same time. And then all of a sudden I'm like in even more mess than when I started because of all of these other things. Sometimes I've got to make a conscious effort to just stick to one thing, get that finished. That's why I try and do things one at a time. So it's like, okay, I'm going to do this room, and then once I've done that room, I'm going to go and sit and have a cup of tea.
See, that's what I use AI for. Like, what I do with AI is I just go, oh, I got all these things that I'm supposed to do and I just don't know where to start, and then it can kind of come up with a loose plan for me. And then when I look at the plan, it's like when you toss a coin and because you can't make a decision, and then when you get the result you're like, oh yeah, no, I didn't actually want to do that anyway.
That's clever though. I've never done that. I find it hard to just even make a list in the morning sometimes.
Well, you know, if you can actually use the voice recorder thing on ChatGPT, and you can just ramble into it, you can just ramble out the contents of your brain and it will come up with a plan for you. And then when you look at the plan, you can change it. You can be like, actually I don't think that's a good idea to do that there, and I think actually it would be better if I did it that way around. But that's one really good use that I found for AI. And I think as somebody with ADHD, I feel like it's a really, really good tool for me. And I've worried about things like the environmental impact of it and stuff like that. But I've looked into it and it's like, well, actually, it's not that. The way I use it is not what's causing the impact. It's like the designing of it in the first place. And I mean, we could have a really in-depth conversation about this someday. But for now, you know, I just wanted to introduce how I use it as a tool to just help me manage as somebody with ADHD.
Well, I have heard of people using automations just to help with ADHD life.
It does help. We just need to go to a break now, but we will definitely talk.
Yes.
Let's talk more about this after this break. Keep it locked to the Persona Power podcast on Ujima 98 FM. We'll be back very soon.
Keeping you informed. The BBC News, brought to you by Ujima Radio.
BBC News for Bristol. It looks like historic local company Bristol Blue Glass may have found a new home. The future of the business has been in doubt after the landlord of the site in Bath Road decided to turn the building into flats. Now it appears a new location in the centre of Bristol has been found and a lease will be signed soon. Head glassblower David Barry told us the reaction of staff after hearing the business could be saved.
Joy, really. Yeah, they're all very happy because obviously we were looking at company-wide redundancy if we couldn't find anywhere. So everybody's over the moon. Everybody's really on board and really hopeful that everything will work out.
The MP and former Mayor of the West of England, Dan Norris, has been released on conditional bail after his arrest over more allegations of sexual abuse. He's been accused of rape and upskirting. Previous allegations about child sex offences are no longer being investigated. Mr. Norris denies any wrongdoing. A Bath cyclist who's been diagnosed with leukaemia is embarking on a series of challenges to raise funds and awareness. David Stoyle is the vice chairman of Bath Cycling Club, and today he'll be doing 100 miles on a static bike in the Southgate Centre for charity Cure Leukaemia. And it's all in preparation for an even bigger test in June.
I'm cycling all 21 stages of the Tour de France, 1 week ahead of the professionals, to raise £30,000 for Cure Leukaemia. And so today is a fundraiser to start that process.
Football and Bristol City have added two new players to their squad before the transfer deadline at midnight. Swedish defender Noah Alla was confirmed from New York Red Bulls at 10 p.m. last night. They also signed Slovenian midfielder Tommy Horvat from Sturm Graz for an undisclosed fee. Bristol Rovers went one better, signing three players yesterday. Oldham striker Joe Quigley has joined for the club for an undisclosed fee, while Bradford midfielder Tommy Lee and Tranmere's Richie Smallwood have moved to Rovers on loan. That's the BBC News for Bristol. You're up to date.
The BBC News, brought to you by Ujima Radio.
Hi, I'm Mary Miner.
And I'm Meg Cox.
And you're listening to the Persona Power podcast
on Ujima Radio 98 FM.
Welcome back to the Persona Power podcast.
Hi, thank you for listening. We love you.
We do.
So we were just talking about how we can get going in life, how we can tick off to-do lists, how you can use like AI within your life to help. And especially both of us, we are ADHD and on the spectrum. So it's... it can be a challenge to get up and go, to get organised, can't it?
Oh, it really can. I mean, I am not a morning person. I was lamenting this morning. I was like, I wish I was a morning person, because like that's one of the most magical times of day is the dawn. Like, imagine if I could just be up with the dawn every day, like how magical my life could be. But my body just doesn't want to get up at that hour.
No, me neither. My friend wakes up at 4:35 a.m.
Wow.
Every single morning.
Wow.
Which I admire.
Yeah.
And she like wakes up, she has her time to herself in the morning, she takes the dog for a walk, she has a morning coffee, and I love that. I stayed with her for a while, and that became my routine, and it was really lovely. But I'm similar to you in that that's not my body clock.
Yeah.
I am neither a morning nor an evening person. It takes me time to wake up in the morning, and it takes me time to like rest in the evening. If I don't have like a good amount of time resting in the evening, I won't sleep.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm actually a late night person. My normal bedtime is about 1 to 1:30 a.m. It takes me a long time in the evening to get things done. Like quite often I'm still sort of sorting my life out at 10 p.m. Because I've got so much to do in the evenings. And I guess as a music person, quite often I'm doing music in the evenings. And then by the time I've like, you know, had my dinner, done the dishes and, you know, done my music practice and, you know, done some of the other things that I need to do, it's quite often it's 10. And then I'm like, okay, now I've got a chance to actually unwind before bed. And you know, and there's things that I want to do. So, you know, I want to listen to a radio show. I want to listen to an audio book. I want to watch an episode of something on the TV. And those are the things that I love to do to unwind. And, yeah, it's just by the time I've finished, I need that time. In the mornings, I would love to... I think 4:30 would be a bit early for me. I don't have any desire to get up that early. But my desire would be to be able to wake up at 6... No, 7. 7's a nice number. I'd love to wake up at 7 and just have a really nice slow morning where I don't have to do anything for at least an hour except, you know, just, like, do me. Because in the mornings, I really love... I really love a little bit of meditation, and then I love a bit of self-reflection. So I like doing a bit of writing in the mornings. I like sometimes listening to music in the mornings and trying to write a little song in the mornings, you know. And it, to me, it's just like it's nice to like a gentle ease into the day. So I'd love to have an extra hour or two in the mornings just to really take my time. But yeah. I don't know how to make it. I'd have to go to bed earlier.
Yeah. Well, I am never awake at 1 a.m. As soon as it hits about 8:30, 9 o'clock in the evening, I'm ready to go to bed. I'm like, my routine is kind of in bed by 9-ish. And then I'll I'll probably be like in bed watching TV for a little bit and doze off. And then in the morning, I'm up at, 8 o'clock.
So when's your creative time?
During the day. So I tend to work from like 11 until 6, and I just won't really have a break. It's just that's my like time of working. And I tend to be most creative probably within like the midsection of the day. That's a really strange way of saying that. But from like 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Okay.
I think maybe it's because that's when like I'm up and about, you know, I'm like around different stimulations, I'm around different things. But then again, like my creativity and ideas come at really sporadic times as well. So I could be, you know, I could be just waking up in the morning and making my coffee and then something will kind of like come to my mind. Or sometimes, you know, I'm out in the evenings and something like it's there's no rhyme or reason sometimes.
Interesting, because like sometimes I am quite creative in the mornings because I'm still in that sort of semi-dream state, and I quite like writing at that time because sometimes these interesting ideas will come out of my dreams or the themes in my dreams. So I quite like writing at that time in the morning, but then sometimes my brain starts firing at night and I can't sleep. It happened the other day. I just couldn't sleep because I had these two songs just going round and round and round in my head, and I was so excited about them, and I couldn't get to sleep till like 4 a.m. and I think that's why I'm still groggy, because like my brain is still catching up from that late night of not being able to sleep.
Do you have like a book next to your bed or anything that you note things in?
No, it's usually like voice notes.
Clever.
You know, voice notes. In fact, I started going through my voice notes, because even though I keep saying that I had a creative block last year, it was more the creative block around finishing things, but it obviously wasn't around starting things, because when I started going through my voice notes the other day, I was like, oh wow, I've had so many ideas. I've had so many good ideas and like so many like almost complete songs that I've just written in my head.
Do you have any suggestions as to how to finish stuff?
Well, you know, I couldn't force my brain into trying to finish stuff last year, because I think I needed it to just like have that break from trying to achieve all the time. But I think you just got to trust that the excitement to finish things will come. But it's having these habits. So it's about being able to organize things, which is a challenge for someone with ADHD. But it is about having those times when I'm like, okay, today I'm just going to go through my voice notes and I'm going to make notes. I tend to have, you know, like a little file of like lyrical ideas, and then I have another file which says song ideas, and then in there I kind of sporadically list. If I come across a good idea, I will kind of list it, and then I'll say where it is. Is it on my computer? Is it on my phone? In my voice notes? Everything's backed up as well on the cloud, so you know I don't have that risk of losing it. And then I put the date, so I know like roughly where to find it. And then I try to go through and delete things as well. And my friend, I'm actually in an ADHD music club as well, and my friend recommends, you know, like find every week, like find something to delete. Find something to develop, and then I can't remember the third thing but there was three things. I'll bring them next week, but returning to the idea of using AI as a tool, that can kind of help me as somebody with ADHD to just like, you know, just organize my thought processes around my creative ideas. And I found it an invaluable tool for me. That was something I was kind of looking for, something like that, for a while. And the way I use it is I just like free flow, you know, everything that's going on in my head, no matter how mundane. And I just try to get it to give me a plan. And it helps me a lot.
I think maybe we need to look more into it. I tend to use it to help write professional work emails.
yeah, it's good for stuff like that.
But I don't like heavily use it, but I have heard of people using like AI to automate like their home, their life. And it's somebody who has been super open about having ADHD as well, and the way that they manage it is by like automating their house. So like their house, you know, is set up when they come in, the certain like things will start, so like their oven or their, and there's like automations around like lighting and like music and reminders as to whether they've got like their keys in their bag, and reminders around like on that day they're going to be having that meeting, so they need to remember to take that with them. And
that's really good that you can use it in that way. I've never known I wouldn't even know how to set that up. Well, I have to look into that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's obviously like there are like financial barriers around that, because I don't think I at this time I wouldn't be able to automate my own house yet. But it's interesting to know that you could like automate certain areas of your life. So like the reminders could be a thing. So if you know that you're like in a certain location, you would need certain things in your bag on that day, having something just to remind you in the morning at a certain time to take all of those things with you could be helpful for ADHD, because unless it's next to the door, I will forget it. You know, it's just ways of working with your mind rather than working against it.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to have these sort of reminder systems in place. Yeah, my AI can't do that for me at the moment. I've tried to get it to it. I got it to like email me, and it started sending me all these emails, and it was just like it couldn't seem to get the consistency right. It was either too much or it wasn't enough. So I think there's imperfections there, but I think at the moment it's like, you know, AI is part of our lives. So let's see, you know, I don't think there's any going back on that. So let's see how we can use it, like how it can actually help us. And I feel like, well, let's explore this in a little more depth in the last segment, because we are coming up to a little break now. But yeah, we will continue this conversation very shortly. Keep it locked to Ujima 98 FM. This is the Persona Power Podcast. We'll see you shortly.
Bye.
Come and join me, Tim Dubboy, for The Jump Off, my brand new monthly show right here on Ujima Radio on the first Saturday of every month from 12 until 2 p.m. Each month, I'll be playing the latest and the greatest in soca, calypso, dancehall, lovers rock, afrobeats and jazz, and everything in between. This is music for your hips, and it's music for your heart from across the Caribbean and the wider diaspora. So do remember, and don't forget to start your weekend the right way with The Jump Off, first Saturday of every month, 12 till 2 p.m. on Ujima Radio with me, Tim Dubboy.
From making an arrest,
I'm arresting your suspicion of,
to a well-earned rest, in Dorset's great outdoors. Whether you're a career changer, a military veteran, or just finishing your studies, we're inviting you to join us and love Dorset. With an application buddy to help you and relocation packages for transferees, we welcome candidates from all backgrounds. There are 4 entry routes to suit your skills and experience, and you don't need a degree to start. Come to a good force, a great team, and the best place to live and work. Go to the Dorset Police website for the next steps. Join us. Love, Dorset.
Yeah, this is Tanya Stevens, and you're listening to Ujima Radio. Empower, educate, entertain, inform. Ujima, we are you. We are Ujima.
Hi, I'm Meg Cox.
And I'm Mary Minor.
And you're listening to the Persona Power Podcast
on Ujima Radio 98 FM. Welcome back to the Persona Power Podcast with me, Mary Minor.
And me, Meg Cox.
We have been talking about AI. Well, we've been today, in fact. It's been a more of a rambly episode than usual. We've had lots of things on our mind, and I hope you'll forgive the sort of the sporadic nature of today's podcast.
I think it's like I'm enjoying this.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying the free flow conversation. I think it's been helpful for my mind, because I have found focusing so hard recently. I cannot hold one train of thought.
It can happen
at all. And It's been quite frustrating when I'm trying to do stuff.
Yeah.
But I've kind of like just submitted to it for now. And I feel like that this episode has been a manifestation of that for me. Because it's just like loads of things going on, but also like not much at all at the same time. Like I can't make sense of it.
Well, I reckon, I mean, this is just my theory, could be wrong, but I reckon because you've been doing so much and you've been so productive, and you know, you did 2 runway shows last year, you've been doing the cruising show, you've been doing the podcast, you've been running your own business, you have other jobs that you do just to bring in the money as well. I mean, it's amazing, but at times our brains are going to need a break.
Yeah.
And I've experienced the same thing, like last year being, as I keep saying, I was creatively blocked. I think part of the reason I was creatively blocked was because I'd put so much pressure on myself to wear all these different hats and be good at everything, and was really, really trying hard, you know, like, I create videos, I'm a music producer, I'm a singer-songwriter, you know, I write my own songs, I produce my own songs, but I was doing all my own marketing, you know, I was doing all my own social media creation, and I was being my own brand consultant, and, you know, all of these things that businesses outsource, I was doing it all myself. And it was just too much pressure. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I just felt like I was constantly battling. And my brain was just like, no, sorry, I'm not going to allow you to finish anything. Yeah. And I just had to accept it. And like that, all of last year, I was kind of almost beating up on myself about that, because I was like, whoa, you know, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, I'm lazy, I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other. But actually, sort of working through all my creative ideas from last year, it's like, oh, no, I wasn't actually creatively blocked. I was just blocked from finishing anything. Mm. But when I look back, it was like, oh, my goodness, I have got a wealth of ideas there. I've got so much material that I can draw upon. Now that I'm feeling a bit more inspired to finish stuff again. But I think sometimes our brains just need a break.
Yeah, and I've also kind of tried to keep my work and what I'm doing a bit simpler this year.
Yeah.
Just because I did so much last year that I just need to settle, and I need to, you know, just work on generally what I'm doing rather than keeping you know, doing extravagant stuff and doing the biggest stuff and doing the crazy stuff, like, yeah. It's not something that you can withstand and sustain for a long time. And I think maybe it's my brain getting used to just existing and just working
and that being enough, like, yeah. You're enough. I think that's one of the mantras that's helped me through life, is like, I am enough, I'm perfect and beautiful exactly the way I am. I don't have to do more, I don't have to struggle, I don't have to strive. Like, being me is enough.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to wear the most amazing outfits every day. I don't have to look beautiful every day. Do you know what I mean? I just have to be me. Mm-hmm. You know, looking after me is a full-time job.
Yeah, exactly. But I think I thrive and I enjoy a challenge.
Mm.
So I think maybe that's an element of it as well, is that I don't necessarily have, like, obviously, running a business is a challenge. Like, that life has challenges everywhere you look and everywhere you step. But I think on my brain, it's probably a symptom of ADHD as well. It's almost looking for the challenge.
Yeah.
And because at the moment I'm just working on the thing that I love, and that should be enough. But I think it's a challenge within my own mind and looking for the challenges, whereas I'm just trying to allow myself to have days where my brain is just going crazy and allow myself to have days where I'm having my fast, slow days where, you know, there's loads of things that I need to do, but I just don't have a huge amount of energy.
Yeah.
So it's just taking it slow. Like, I'm just, and like you just said, around not having that negative inner talk around things when it is not going the way that I want it to go.
Yeah.
Like, just taking every day as it comes. And if I'm feeling like I've got a hermit and I've got to be in solitude for a couple of days, then that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And then today I'll come out and I'll come and chat to you about it. Like, it's just accepting what is going on rather than fighting it.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to take from it at the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you on that. I definitely hear you. But, you know, we're still in that time of year where our brains are still just like coping with the cold weather and, you know, we're not getting enough daylight and all of those things. So, but yeah, I hear you on, you know, always wanting to have the new challenge and, you know, getting excited about what's the next big project going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But like maybe just dreaming is the project sometimes, you know, maybe just like writing down ideas and just maybe allowing things to be unfinished is the project.
Yeah.
Let's see how creative I can be without finishing anything. Let's just see how many madcap ideas I can come up with this week, you know?
Yeah, it's about like loosening the restrictions on your mind and your dreams and your manifest. I'm such a dreamer as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right. Maybe at the moment it's just about thinking unlimited ideas.
Yeah.
Just going for it.
Yeah. And what I have to do is like I have to rein myself in because, you know, like I'll have a little success with something. Like I did a theatre performance with my theatre group and it went really well. And then immediately my brain just took off. I'm going to be an actor now. And then I had to rein it in because it was like, well, no, come on. I have to use a bit of acting in what I do anyway just to convey a song, and I had to kind of rein that in and go, no, I'm not going to be trying to be an actor now. I need to try and stay focused on I'm doing music's my main thing, you know. But what's great is that music does always end up really inspiring me again, so yeah. Even though I go through phases of like, oh, I don't want to do music. No, I do really.
it's something that is your passion. You can't step away from that.
Yeah, but there is that thing of when we turn our passion into our work, that are we still as passionate about it? I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of elements of what I do in my business that is not fun. It's not, you know, all of the admin stuff. Yeah, I'd love somebody else to do it. Love somebody else to do all of the social media.
Yeah.
But without all of those bits,
yeah,
I wouldn't. I'm living the dream, you know. some days I'm feeling it, some days I'm not.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I am working super hard on something that I've been dreaming about my entire life.
Yeah.
So even with the admin, it's all part of it.
Yeah, same here, really. Same here. Oh.
So what's this upcoming week looking like for you?
This upcoming week, oh, well, I'm getting ready for my holiday because the week after next, I'm going to be away. So at the moment, I've got like a big bag that I'm just putting, because last time I went on holiday, I forgot to take any shorts and I forgot to take any T-shirts. Can you believe it? And those things are essential when you're in a warm country. Mm-hmm. So, so I ended up having to like buy shorts and T-shirts and it kind of took over one of our days. You know, it was just like, no, I actually really need these things. So we wasted quite a lot of time like traipsing around these shops trying to look for these specific things, which was quite hard. But anyway, so this time I'm making sure that like I've got my... I think it was about a week ago I put a bag out and started putting things in the bag, like putting my swimming things in the bag, I bought a new bikini, and trying to actually get bikini bottoms that fit is a challenge because I've got quite wide hips, so it's quite hard to find a pair of bikini bottoms that like fit around the hips that aren't too long in the seat.
Yeah.
And my boyfriend's like, just wear a G-string, and I'm like, oh. No, I don't think I'm ready for that. It's not. No, I'm sorry. I don't think I can. I feel too exposed. He's like, well, how are you supposed to tan your cheeks? Oh my goodness. It's the end of the episode. Just give us a quick, what are you up to this week?
I've got quite a few styling sessions this upcoming week, so I always love going out and sourcing bits for them. So, and it's always a treat meeting people at an exciting time in their life when they're evolving their style.
Amazing.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Let's talk more about that next week.
Yeah.
Wonderful. My name is Mary Minor. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Miss_Mary_Minor, which is spelled MINA, or on Facebook is Mary Minor, and YouTube Mary Minor Music.
And you can find me on social media at Clothemod, so CLOTHEMOD. And you can also find me in my shop in Sparks in the old M&S building in 78 Broadmead.
Thanks for listening today, guys. We love you. And thanks to Ujima for having us, as always. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Ujima Radio, serving the Bristol community and beyond. Keep it locked.